If we praise God as we ought, we shall be kept from praising ourselves. Surely that is good. I have heard that most self-made men are very apt to praise their maker. Indeed, we are all liable to sing the praises of self. The sure way of escaping this danger is to fill your heart and mouth with praise to God. This is a quote coming to you from the Biblical Illustrator. In this broadcast, we are continuing the theme of resolutions in our new series entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. In this particular broadcast, we will cover the new subject of praising the Lord as we deal with resolution number 27, as found in Psalm 54:6, which says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Now, for the purpose of this broadcast, we are going to deal with the latter part of this verse, where David said, I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. When you read this statement, you have to read it with a double nominative. What that means is that David was saying two things at the same time. He was saying, thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Now, thy name, the name of God, oftentimes is representative or describing God himself. It stands for God himself. So what David was saying there is, God's name is good, or God himself is good. That's the first statement he was making. The second one was, he said, I will praise thy name, for it is good. What he was saying is, God is good, but so is his praise. It's a good thing to praise the name of the Lord, for it is good. David, what is good? The name of God is good. The name of God is descriptive of his nature. It is God himself. God is good. He is benevolent. He is good. And he is good in a way of providence and of grace. Matthew Henry said, thy name is not only great, but good, and therefore to be praised. For it is good. What is good, David? It is a good thing to praise the name of the Lord. That is good. It's a good thing to praise his name. The treasury of David said this, it is of great use to our souls to be much in praise. Praise is good in itself, good to us and good to all around us. Matthew Henry said, to praise thy name is not only what we are bound to, but it is good, it is pleasant, it is profitable, it is good for us. Therefore, I will praise thy name. Okay, so we see that by David saying, I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. He was saying two things at the same time. He was saying, God is good, and it is a good thing to praise his name. Now, we want to look at that first statement, that first point. God is good. Throughout the Bible, you will find that statement from the Old Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, that God is good. We want to look at some scriptures here that point that out. Psalm 100, verse 5, David said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. He said, for the Lord is good. That's the first reason that we have for praising Him. Why should you praise God? Because He is good. He is good in Himself. He's not just a being of mere power. He's not just the creator of the whole universe. He is a good God. He's benevolent, gracious, kind, bountiful, loving. He's love personified. And He's continually manifesting His goodness to us in dispensations of His providence and grace. And His goodness is a very comprehensive quality. But in this verse, David breaks down His goodness into two things: His mercy and His truth. He said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. That's the second reason why we should praise Him, because His mercy is everlasting. And when in the King James, when it uses the word mercy, oftentimes it is speaking of His grace or His loving kindness. His mercy is everlasting. Although we provoke Him daily to punish us, yet His mercy is everlasting. In Lamentations, it says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Oh, hallelujah. He bears with us long, and He's kind. He doesn't give us what we deserve, and that is reason enough to praise Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then He went on to say, and His truth endureth to all generations. That's the third reason why we should praise Him. And in the King James, oftentimes you'll see His truth represents His faithfulness in fulfilling His promises and performing His engagements. It's talking about His faithfulness. God is not a fickle being. He doesn't promise and then forget. He doesn't enter into a covenant with His people and then revoke it. He doesn't alter the thing that goes out of His lips, nor does He break His word or change His purpose. He is faithful to His promises. And oh, that is reason enough to praise His name. Then we go over to Psalm 106, verse 1, and we hear David says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. There we hear it again. For He is good. David's calling us to praise Jehovah because of the goodness of His nature. God is a good God. He's the author, dispenser, and the source of all kinds of good. And that term, God, that term among the Anglo-Saxon ancestors, it expressed both supreme being and good or goodness. In other words, when they wrote down the word, the term God, it represented the supreme being, but it also represented good or goodness. God and goodness are interchangeable. Hallelujah. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Here's David again saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. For He is good. This is His nature. Compared with anyone else, there is none good, no, not one. He is essentially, perpetually, superlatively, and infinitely good. And because we are partakers of His goodness, we ought to praise Him. Then in Psalm 135, verse 3, David said, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. There we have it. David is saying, praise the Lord. He's calling us to our duty. Praise the Lord. Do it again. Continue to do it. Do it better. Do it more heartily. Do it in growing numbers. Matthew Henry said, we must not only thank him for what he has done for us, but praise him for what he is in himself and has done for others. For the Lord is good. Now remember, we said that's the first reason why you should praise God, for he is good. All good is found in him. It flows from him, and it's rewarded by him. He is eternally, originally, transcendently, immutably good. Then we go over to Psalm 119, verse 68. Here the psalmist said, thou art good and doest good. You are good, God. And what he was saying, in every attribute of his nature, God is good in the fullest sense of the term. He has a monopoly on goodness. And even in affliction, he is good. And because he is good, he does good. He does good to all men, both good and evil. He is good in action. Matthew Henry said, all who have any knowledge of God and dealings with him will own that he does good, and therefore will conclude that he is good. If you have had any dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have to admit that he does good, and you'll have to conclude that he is good. The treasury of David said, God is not latent and ill-active goodness. He displays himself by his doings. He is actively beneficent. He does good. How much good he does, no tongue can tell. How good he is, no heart can conceive. We can say no more good of God than God is and does. Then we go over to a verse in the New Testament, Matthew 19:17, where a certain ruler, a rich man, came to Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus responded to this man by asking him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. In other words, Jesus was saying, okay, you're calling me good. Now, by doing that, are you saying and admitting that I am the Messiah, that I'm the Son of the living God, that I am God in the flesh? Because only God is good. God alone is the absolute good. He's the fountain of goodness. He's the pattern and sample of it. By him, all goodness is measured. That is good which is like him and agreeable to his nature. But I just want to interject this before we go to the next verse. Before salvation, you know, you'll go up to someone, a sinner, and witness to them. And their response will be, well, I'm a good person. I don't do much bad. I do good things. I'm good. I'm good. You know, I don't need Jesus. I'm good. Okay, I want to use this next verse to refute that and to show all under the sound of my voice that none are good but God. Psalm 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Now, in this verse of scripture, David is saying, in himself, God is good. And his goodness appears in two things, in giving and forgiving. And if we will be honest with ourselves, we will admit that those are two areas that we have a real problem with. Because, you know, God could come along and say, give me this amount of money, give me your resources, give me your time, give me your life, give me that idol, give me that thing that you're holding on to. And we might have a real problem with that. And of course, the sinner, he has a problem giving his life to Jesus. So right there, we find man's not good. He has a problem with giving. God doesn't have that problem. And then when we come to forgiving, oh my, we especially see that man has a problem. And even as a Christian, you might be having a problem with forgiving. It takes the grace of God, oftentimes, to help us in the area of giving, but especially in forgiving. So if goodness was measured by giving and forgiving, mankind would have to admit there is none good but one, that is God. There is none good but one, that is God. Okay, so in Psalm 54:6, David said, I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. The first thing he was saying in that statement is, God, you are good. The second thing he was saying is, to praise your name is good. It's a good thing. We want to look at that now. What does the Bible say about the good thing of praising his name? Psalm 73:28, Asaph said, but it is good for me to draw near to God. What that actually means is, it's more than good. It's best for me. It's pleasant, profitable, my chief good. And it's at my utmost peril if I don't draw near to you. Listen to what the treasury of David said. It is good for all saints. It is good for me in particular. It is always good and always will be good for me to approach the greatest good, the source of all good, even God himself. And then the treasury of David went on to say, the greater our nearness to God, the less we are affected by the attractions and distractions of earth. So it is a good thing for me to draw near to God or to sing his praises. By doing so, we're drawing near to God, because the more I praise him and draw near to him, the less am I affected by the attractions of the world. The less I am affected by the distractions all around me. And that is a good thing. Then in Psalm 92:1, David said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. He came out and said it outrightly. It is a good thing. This is a good work, to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. It's good ethically, because it's the Lord's right. It's good emotionally, because it's pleasant to your heart. And it's good practically, because it leads others to do so. It is a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's good. It's good in itself, and it's good for us. It's our duty, our rent. You know, it's everything we have has been given to us by God, and it's our rent to pay back our due, to pay back for all he's done for us and given to us. And we are unjust if we withhold it. But this is a very good reason why it's a good thing, because it's the one and only antidote to natural selfishness. It's a good thing to sing praises to the Lord, because that is an antidote to natural selfishness. In many of our duties, we have an eye to ourselves. But when we're praising God, praise is eminently unselfish. It draws away our thoughts from ourselves and fixes them exclusively upon God. It causes you to fade out of view and to fall into the background. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. That makes it a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord, unto His name. It's always good. It's appropriate at all times and all circumstances, and it's never out of season. But there are other things. Things happen when we praise, when we sing praises to His name, to the Lord's name. These are some of them. That praise is the most cheering and enlivening occupation. When you sing praises to the Lord, your spirit is refreshed, it's invigorated, it's elevated. And singing praise tends to lessen your life's cares and sorrows. It's a rich means of grace. When you sing praises to the Lord, God just starts pouring out His grace on you. It also enriches your faith. And before such faith, the tangled problems of life smooth themselves out. Oh, it's a good thing to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. And then in Psalm 147, verse 1, here again, David said, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God." It is good to sing praises unto our God. For one, when you're praising the Lord, here's another thing. You secure former favors that you had forfeited. You gain what you lost. You get back what you lost. Not only that, but then you procure further blessings. You get back what you lost, and then you gain so much more. Also, when you sing praises to the Lord, it raises your heart from earth to heaven, and it leads you to value what you receive. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Now, in our teaching today, we saw from the Word of God that the number one reason why we praise God is because He is good. We also learned that we praise Him because it's good for us to do so, and to not praise Him is to defraud Him of that which He has a just claim to. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of resolutions as found in the book of Psalms. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that God will enable you by His Spirit to take your praise of Him to a newer and higher level. In Jesus' name, amen.